Yes, I know how to work PowerPoint. All right, this is on building vibrant communities. And my name is John Pruitt, and this is...
I'm Robin Miller.
And we are program managers on the SharePoint Experiences team, but really you can just say the SharePoint team. We're part of the engineering team, and we've helped build a number of things that are mostly end-user facing type of features and functionality. And this is one of them. By the way, my voice is a little hoarse, and it is because of a cold. It's not because I was screaming for Bon Jovi last night in the front of the crowd. I might have done a little bit of that, but it's really the cold. Before we get started, and please excuse the and coughs and whatnot, I'll try not to do it in the mic. Before we get started, the session, as you probably have already know, is 1 hour long. We're going to try to reserve 15 minutes at the end. I tend to talk a long time and interrupt the things that Robin is going to say, and so that makes us drag on, so forgive me in advance. But hopefully it's all good content. There is a Twitter handle, SPC169, so please Twitter away, and we would love to see your feedback and improve what we say here and how we think about our product. If you have questions, features that you want to add, that you would love us to add to communities, want to understand how communities interact with other kinds of things and future related to Yammer, those sorts of things, please tweet away. And be sure and fill out the evaluation form at the end. We love applause. We just love it. So we could start with applause. Oh. We could end with applause. All right. I like you all already. Thank you. So session objectives. We want you to learn about the new community site templates that we've built, their key features, kind of their purpose. We want you to learn a bit about how to create and manage and moderate communities. We're going to provide a little bit of best practices and a little bit of caveats and gotchas that you should watch out for. And then sort of our thunder of the story is how communities integrate into the larger social fabric across SharePoint. We'll start with some introduction, just background on what are communities and why are we doing them in this release. And then we'll go more of a deep dive into the community sites themselves, breaking that up into the visitor experience, the owner experience, and the moderator experience. And then the final section will be about how they integrate into SharePoint Social overall. All right. I skipped a slide. So you all know by now from the keynote and all the other talks that have happened that social has been given a big boost in SharePoint 13, and that we have enriched functionalities that we started in 2010. That includes microblogging and those sorts of things, the news feed that started in 2010, ratings, blogs, user profiles, and whatnot. And we've added a whole new set of features and functionality in this release. And really, communities themselves are just one piece of that puzzle. And so this is really the grand central station of our social experience, the news feed page, all things, notifications, what you're following, all come into here. There's this great notion of follow, and you can follow a lot of different types of objects, people, documents, sites, tags. And this is really the hub. And communities are a offset of that hub. They're one piece to the social puzzle. They do have their place, and that's what we want you to learn about today is kind of what is their place. For background, online communities are, and that's what we're building, online communities, are an interactive group of people that join together for just either a common interest or some common purpose. You can think of them in categories. And we didn't build individual types of communities like this. This is just things that our community site templates can be used for. So there are communities of practice that are really about what's my profession, what's my role? And those people get together and they share best practices, share experiences and war stories, and really try to get to the top of their profession or role, the most out of that. Communities of purpose are really just about accomplishing a specific mission or goal. They tend to be a little shorter term, but some of them are like communities of charity groups and those sorts of things. Like, we are here to serve in some purpose, and as we meet that end, that really is the penultimate for that community. Communities of interest, as suggested by the name, all revolve around a particular domain or topic. So people get together because they love music, or they love, which is some of the communities I'm involved in, or they love, you know, you name it, that's what they love, and they want to talk about it and learn more about it and develop their interest and hobby to a further degree. And then there are communities that are merely for social interaction. This is you know, partly what Facebook serves a purpose for. It's just about getting together with others that you like and want to be around and sort of share in your lives and in the business context, share in the culture of your business, you know, what's happening around, share gossip, share news, and just really connect with others, network, see how you can find that next job, those sorts of things. I'm sure you're all very well aware of the SharePoint wheel, and we have, at least since 2010, really been selling SharePoint as a community platform, right? So, and there's one piece of the pie there called communities, and this has been a nice selling point for us. It's a real thing, and people have built communities in SharePoint based on the things, the features and whatnot that we have in SharePoint 2010. And really before that. So we've got all the parts and pieces, team sites and wikis and discussion forums and user profiles, ratings. Those are all things that are part of building a community. But the funny thing is that in spite of all these things that come together to build a community, we never delivered a single thing that we said, now here is a community, or here is even a best example of a community. For you, you know, one of the Fab 40 templates or something like that. And so at the beginning of this release, with a lot of feedback from customers and some work with our product planning and product marketing folks, we set out to build a community site template. And that was really the goal, and to build something that we could say, now this is a community. All right, so our vision for communities was we wanted them to be vibrant. And this was really to inspire us as to what do we want to build. And, you know, this is to, I'm showing you this to give you some insight into what we wanted to do. This really was our vision. I'll read it out loud for you, so you can follow along with me and not be trying to read it while I talk. Communities are gathering places where information is shared, questions are answered, and the like-minded people connect. SharePoint communities feel alive and productive. Participation is simple and inviting. Member activities are prominent, and expertise is recognized and rewarded. Most importantly, useful content rises to the top, and that's one of the things that we want to make sure you see as we demo today. And organizations can become personal, navigable groups where individuals share a sense of belonging and purpose. So that's really what we wanted to deliver there. And sort of as the collection of all these things, it's really about getting the most out of the people you work with. And that's really our story for social overall. Social is about getting the most out of your colleagues, all right? And that's partially collaboration, but that it goes beyond simple collaboration. So we had really four areas that I think of as where we did some investment for communities. One was the site template itself. So we have a site template. It has four basic pages and a collection of other sort of supporting pages, but these four are the ones that you will see prominently in the template: the home page, category page, member, and about. We invested in membership and some joining workflow. We have core web parts. You're going to see those. We invested a lot in reputation, and this is really the part where it's about rewarding expertise and encouraging participation, not just likes and star ratings, but having popularity as a sense. We have reputation for both people and for content. And then no community is complete without having some ability to manage it, to moderate it, and to really understand the membership and to be able to control those things. And so we invested in some features around that. And then I think most important to our community really is that we focused on the discussion experience. And if you have looked at what we built really prior to 2010 for discussions in SharePoint, you can walk away from that feeling like it's not exactly about the discussion. It doesn't really encourage reading. And so part of what we wanted to get as we redesign this is just a better flow for how do I read through a discussion and sort of parse that material and make the most out of it. So you'll see a bunch of good features here that we built to help with the discussion itself. So communities revolve around discussion, and that's what you're going to see. Just for reference, here is what 2010 discussions look like, and we actually built on the discussion list as the sort of starting point for where communities were going and how our conversations were going to evolve from this. So keep this in mind as Robin demos some of our real communities. All right, so as I said, we're going to do some demoing and deep dive into each area from a sort of a role perspective. Now we're going to talk about visitors and members and what is their experience. That includes just coming in and consuming material. You know, how do I find good stuff? Following and joining. How do I participate in a community? And the fact that I might want to leave a community at some point. So with that, we will let Robin take it away.
Thanks, John. All right, so for this demo, I'm going to be Allie, and I've just come to this Marketing Topics community for the first time. What you're going to see here is discussions right front and center, but there are also some other things I want to point out. There's a join button here, so I can easily start getting into this community, participating, be a member. I can also get an overview of what's happening in this community, how many members, discussions, and replies are here. I can also see some top contributors. If I hover over their reputation, I can get a little more information about them, how many discussions, replies, best replies, when they joined. On top of the discussions, I can also pivot to see what's hot, my discussions, if I have any, unanswered or answered questions, or featured discussions. I'll come back to those a little bit later. I'm going to start by joining this community. What's happening now in the background when I click the join button is this community is being added to my list of followed sites, so I can easily get back here in the future. So now that I'm a member, let's kind of explore this community a bit. We'll start on the categories page. This will give me an overview of what types of things are being discussed here in the community. And if I hover over one, I can get additional information of what's happening there and a description of the category. When I click in to go to a category, I'll see something very similar to the homepage. The important difference is if there are any featured discussions, these are sticky posts that a moderator has tagged, I'll see them right at the top. As John mentioned, we have reputation for content as well as people. And so under the discussions, I can see a little bit about the reputation, as bar indicates. This is a pretty popular discussion here. It's got some replies, likes, a best reply. So I'll click into this one. So Alex has asked a question, and I can see that right at the top where he's asked, Bonnie has given an excellent reply. So when something is marked as the best reply, we always append it right to the top, so I don't have to go digging through all of the replies to see it. I can also see that Alex has gotten a few likes, and if I hover over that, I can see, possibly, who is actually like this. So Sarah and Garth have liked Alex's post. As I scroll down here, I can see a bunch of replies, and I notice that Pavel is actually called out as an expert. I might want to pay attention to what he says. Something else I notice is that Alex has a response to Bonnie's post, and if I click on that, I can see what Bonnie's post was. So I get a little bit of context to the threading that's happening inside of a discussion. A few other things that I can do inside of a discussion is I can set up an email alert on the root post. And this uses the standard alerts infrastructure, and I can get notified via email or text message when a reply happens in this discussion. I'm going to go back, though, to the discussion. Another thing I could do is report to the moderator if I think that this really isn't the best reply. send that off and a moderator can look at it later. One other thing I'll take a look at is now that I'm a member, I'll go look at the members page. Here I can get a little information about me. I haven't really done anything yet, so I'm going to go start a discussion. I'm going to say, I have a question about designing for mobile. Now, I have already kind of been putting my thoughts together in a OneNote here, so I'm just going to copy and paste my question into here, and you'll notice that all of my formatting from OneNote is maintained. My italics, my colors, my bullets. That's pretty awesome, because, you know, before you had to fix that every time. I'm going to check this box, because this is a question. I want to know what people think, and I'll choose a category, planning, and save. Now, since I checked that box to indicate that this is a question, if I go look at the unanswered questions, I'll see my discussion right there. And this is going to be really great if a moderator is going through and trying to help folks get answers. Now, if I go back to my members web part here, I can see my reputation score now that I have a discussion, how many more points I need to reach the next level, and if I wanted to leave, this is where I would do that. And that's pretty much an overview of the member and visitor experience.
All right. Thank you, Robin. Do you like that? All right. Yes. And remember, this is where we started. This is what a discussion looked like before. So more applause. Like, come on. There's some improvement there.
I'd be hurt otherwise.
Yes, I keep asking for applause. That's not the right way to do it, I know. All right, I'm just going to spend a couple more minutes just giving a little bit of details about some of the member and visitor participation details behind the scenes. So as you can see, really community participation revolves around posting, replying, and liking. It's really about the discussion. This is just a site template. It's built partially on TeamSite. The TeamSite template, that's where we started. And so, you know, that means that the owner and moderator could put the community in edit mode. They can add lists and libraries and lots of other SharePoint content. It really is just a SharePoint site. So you can enrich your communities with as much other content as you need. But participating in those other kinds of activities at this point doesn't improve your reputation. So if I copied a new document into the shared document library, we're not boosting the points for that particular member. Now, this is all built on just SharePoint lists, so there is object model there. You could hook up an event receiver and modify the reputation yourself. There's no problem with doing that. We just didn't quite get to that. We wanted to, but we didn't get there. Discussion posts and replies. As you'll notice, Robin added a category to one of her posts. Categories are always required so that every single post goes into a category, and that really helps the members know how to navigate to things that are relevant to them. Any discussion can be marked as a question, and that really just means that, hey, as a member, I really want an answer from this. I'm not just posting something for discussion. I want somebody to give me the answer. And that helps moderators go through and look for what should I be paying attention to. Let me help this person find an answer. And later, there's some really beneficial consequences of question and answer pairs that we'll show you. One is that the question appears in the filter on the homepage. Replies can be made to the root post or to any other post, to any other reply, as Robin showed you. Members can mark any reply as a best reply to their own discussion. So once I asked a question or made a statement, it's my job to determine which of the set of replies in there is really the answer to the thing that I'm looking for. Thread reputation, as you'll notice, like I could like any one of the replies in a discussion, but liking both the root post and liking any one of the replies is what adds to the reputation of the discussion thread itself. So we include count of replies, the number of likes across all of them, and I believe whether or not it has a best reply. All right. And by the way, just side note, root posts are actually a root folder item, and all of the replies are list items within that root post. That's how the system works, which is different from how blogs work. In blogs, we have the root post is a one list, and it's a root item, and all comments against any root post are actually a separate list, so we can maintain separate permissions against those things. Community membership. Membership is maintained in a SharePoint list. It is not explicitly part of permissions. So I can give permissions to people to my community site out the wazoo. I can share it with everyone in my organization as a member, but still none of those people will appear in the member list until they come to my community site and either start participating or purposely click on the join button. Joining a community, importantly, automatically follows that community. So you've all seen the Sites Hub, and that's the collection of sites that I've said I want to follow. So every time you join a community, you now have a collection of your communities sitting there in the Sites Hub for you to get back to. That's great. And just note that leaving a community hides that member from the list, that members list, but it retains their points. So if they ever join back in, they join back at the level that they were previously. Just a few things to point out, the difference between visitors and members. Yes, membership does have its privileges. So visitors can do a lot of things here, but what they can't do is earn reputation. They can't actually participate in terms of posting and liking and doing those sorts of things. So it's really, membership is about active participation and beginning your journey of reputation through the system. Community owners, let's move on to that experience. So owner activities are really all centered around, hey, I'm the person that is going to create the community site, and I'm responsible for customizing it, for setting up some of the basic settings, making it look and feel like what the topic of the community is about, and setting up permissions. And with no further ado, let's just jump right into a demo.
All right, so here we are on a fresh community that I've just created, my community owners community. What you'll notice that's different now is I have this community toolbox. The average member or visitor will not see this, but a moderator or owner will. I'm going to come back to this a little bit later. I'm going to start by just making my community look a little better. I mean, this looks nice, but I'm going to personalize it. So I'm going to go to the site settings page and first change the logo. So I already have one in SharePoint here that I want to use. Insert that. I'll get a real-time preview of what that is going to look like. Looks great. Now I want to change the look, change the theme. If you went to Lionel's talk yesterday, he went into all the details about changing the look. It's a lot of fun. I'm just going to pick one of the out-of-the-box ones. I like wood. I'm not going to mess with any of the switches. Everything looks good, I think. I'll try it out. This is applying all of the CSS to my site, so pretty soon I'll get a preview of what it's actually going to look like with my content.
Come on.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, I like what I see, so I'm going to keep it. Great. Now I want to actually customize what's on the pages a little bit. So I'm going to start with the About page. I want to let people know that I'm the owner, and if they have any feedback, questions, concerns, comments, that they can contact me. So I'm going to put this page into edit mode. Again, I have some stuff in OneNote that I'm just going to copy over. Oops, wrong one. We'll just put that right in here. And I'm also going to put an image, which is a little card. So I will insert picture from computer. Choose my little people card here. Oops. It's not actually the image I hope to insert, but we'll put our little demo goggles on and pretend it is. So once I have that, I'll just click Save. I think that looks good. Another thing I want to do, my community is going to have events. So I think I want to add a calendar on here. A calendar is just an app in SharePoint. So you can add apps by going to Site Contents. I'll add an app. Find the calendar app here, give it a name. I'll call it Events. Now I have the Events app added to my site. I want to stick it on the home page. So again, I put my home page in edit mode, choose where I want it. I'll stick it at the bottom here. Insert an app part. I'll see the Events app that I just added. Click to add that. And in no time at all, I have a calendar on my page. Looks great. I'm going to save that. All right. So now my community pretty much looks the way that I want it to. That was pretty quick, pretty easy. Now I'm going to go back to the community toolbox that I skipped earlier. Specifically, I'm going to go to the create categories. I'm going to skip manage discussions. I don't have any discussions yet to manage. So I'll go down here, create a category. This is just a SharePoint list. So I could put it in edit mode, go down, add a bunch at once. I'm going to actually click new item. Call this one best practices. Do smart stuff. And I have a picture that I want to add on here in Site Assets already. I'm just going to go grab the URL for this. Click Save. So I have a category. If I want to see what that looks like, I can go to the Categories page now. There it is. And I kind of glossed over this real quick, but if you notice now in a list or library or in a library, you can use the callout and quickly get a URL for the item.
I like that. That was a pain before.
Much easier now. All right, so back to the toolbox. I'm going to skip the badges for now. It's going to be in a later demo. I'm going to go to the reputation settings page. Yes, I definitely want to let people like some stuff. These numbers all look good. I'm going to skip that. And even though the boxes to display achievement levels are pretty cool, I like those. I want to have a little more fun with it. And so if you are level one, you're going to be a new kid in my community. Level two, you'll be a rookie. Level three, contributor. Level four, you're a superstar by now. And if you make it to level five, you're a wizard. And last but not least, I'm going to go to my community settings page. And I want to enable the reporting of offensive content. When I do that, you'll notice another link gets added into my community toolbox where I could go review reported links. So now my community is all set up. It's ready to go. Last thing I have to do is make sure that people can come here and participate. So I'll click Share. And I want to share with everyone except external users. I don't want to send out a mass email. And I want everyone to be able to read the content, but I'm going to control who's actually able to contribute through access requests. So click Share. And now it's out there ready to be discovered. And that was pretty quick. Over to you, John.
All right. One thing, back up for 1 second. I just want to open the share dialog and drop down the show options. I just want to mention, because I don't think I have this in a slide, that we, as part of provisioning the community site, we actually create these four groups for you to add members to, and it I'd like you to advise you, maybe I do say this in a bit, to not create your own, but to use the ones that we have here. And in particular, if you add people to the members group here, contribute in the sense of a community is different than contribute and being a member in the sense of a team site. So you have a few extra privileges as a member in a team site, and really we've reserved some of those for moderators inside a community. So note that there are these four groups that we've already provisioned for you: members, moderators, owners, and visitors, and those are the ones you should use. Okay, thank you. Okay, so a few things about creating community sites. The community site template, you can create a site, create a community as a site or as a subsite. We really recommend that you create communities as the root site of a site collection, and that's really for scalability reasons. So communities, you never know which community is going to grow to be, wow, this is the one that we have 10,000 members of. People in my company really love that one. And because it's a site collection, that means I can now move that community to its own server, give it its own front end or whatever. If it is part of a collection of communities that are all subsites, then you have little ability to take any one of those communities out and sort of separate it and give it that ability to scale and be big. Also, note that you can create a community just through feature activation. So we did create the community functionality as a feature, and you can take any team side or project side, a blog. I don't know why you would do that for a blog, but just you name the site template, and you can go and activate the community functionality. We'll create all the pages, we'll create the underlying lists, and add all the functionality for membership and that sort of stuff, workflow and whatnot. So it is possible to do that. Just want to mention here, this is a bit of a verbose slide, so sorry for that, but we like to think of communities, and you should probably think of communities this way yourself, as some variation from being sort of private and secret to being very open and available for anyone. And generally speaking, our desire for communities, I think the real value of communities, is that they're all open. And you'll see that's the recommended one, number three on this, the row three on this table. It's an open community with explicit join. And the way you set these up is really it's who you share the site with. So a private community means you don't share the community with anyone, that people have to learn about it. You might invite individual members, and it sort of grows in a very private and secret way. You know who you want to be in that community. And communities are security trimmed, so if you don't have read permission to the site, that means essentially private communities are secret communities that no one else can really know about them. A closed community is where you grant read permission to everyone, all right? So everyone in your company can know about that community, but you keep a tight hold on who is the member. So people have to click the members button, and there's all those join actions. If you set access requests, which you probably heard about in the improvement to sharing talk that was yesterday, means that the owner of the site will then get an access request where they can go and approve or reject your request to join this community. You can also set this auto-approval feature that we have so that the member has to join the community. They have to click it and say, I do want to be a member, but the owner of the community doesn't really have to bother with going and approving everybody. They just sort of get auto-approved. So there's still a separation between visitors and members, but members say, yep, I want that thing. And the beauty of them clicking the join button is then it is auto-followed for them, meaning they will then have that community in their list of sites that they care about, so they can quickly get back to it and know which communities they've joined and which they haven't. There's a higher version of this is where you also don't require them to click join, that it's just really open. Anybody can come and they can start participating from the moment they're there. They can like things and do replies and whatnot. But because you've removed the join button in this particular setting or configuring it this way, they won't auto-follow the community. All right, so number three is what we recommend. Robin showed you the community tools and settings web part that we created. Really, this is just a shortcut for community owners and for moderators to know, like, these are the main things I need to do with the community. You probably saw our getting started tile for new sites. This is sort of along the same lines as that, only it's doesn't take up the whole page. It's really there only for the community owners. It is security trim, so it's a part that doesn't show up for members and visitors to the site, which is great, obviously. And all the individual links are available from site settings anyway. It's just a shortcut for you. A couple comments about the general community settings. One is that we created this thing called established date. It is different from the creation date of the community. So the day you go and say, I want to provision this community, there is a create date that's stamped on there. And while that's a useful date, we know that lots of communities start either months or years before you ever knew about our functionality here to create site, these community sites. Or you may want to hold off on announcing your site until you've really got a collection of material there and your moderators in place. And so you want to just set the established date as the date that, you know, this is really when we're going live. And that established date appears on the about page of the community. So it's just for really members to know, like, oh, this community has been around for 2 years or just for the last 6 months. Here is the auto approval setting that we didn't demo for you, but clicking this again means the owner does not have to go and approve every single person that wants to join the community, and you saw enabling of offensive content. Rating settings. So owners can enable or disable ratings in the communities. You don't have to have likes and ratings in there. The ratings can be the star system, 5 stars, or it can be a simple, I just like this. Note that there is no data loss if I switch back and forth between those two systems, so we preserve all the star ratings or the likes for the members. So if you decide halfway through, you know what, star ratings are more appropriate. These are, our community is more like video ratings or something like that. Then I switch it and it all works fine. And also note that our rating system is now fully decoupled from the 2010 SocialDB rating system that we had before. So as you probably know, the SocialDB has some issues with scalability, that ratings themselves are really were a social activity. And when you rated something, all of the people who were following you, it went into the SocialDB and it acted as a social tag, more or less. Now ratings and likes are really part of the list itself. So when you turn on likes or ratings on any list or library, it's universally available across any list or library in SharePoint. We create a few extra columns on that list and they sit in that list. So that's the way the system works now. And that means it's fully scalable, just like any list is, up to 30 million items and so forth. And that's great. Achievement level settings. So owners configure the thresholds for achievement levels. The members gain points towards those levels, pretty obvious. And the levels can be displayed as either that 5-box image, or they can have interesting titles. Note that, I've already said this, owners can disable the point system altogether. They set specific values for an activity. So there at the bottom of the page, you see, in this case, you get 10 points for creating a post, 10 points for replying, 10 points for having a member like one of your posts, either a reply or a root post. And you get a whopping 100 points if one of my replies is marked as the best answer to somebody's post. Again, you can extend this through object model if you need to. We just didn't make it easy for you to go do this, at least in this release, directly on this settings page. And an important point that I almost went over is that community reputation is really per community. So we thought about this a lot up front and decided that, you know, my reputation in the puppy dog community probably has very little to do with my reputation in the mountain biking community, or whatever that is, the .NET community. And so we didn't want to just mix up your ratings points and say your overall reputation as a community person is this, which is sort of your activity level there. But it also allows for each individual community to sort of value, is it more important for people to post new things, or is it more important for them to reply to things or like things? And you can set the value system appropriately. Okay, community moderation. I'm going to go in a little bit detail about what a moderator is first before we do the demo, just because it's a new role within SharePoint or within communities. Moderators are really critical in maintaining the health and vibrancy of communities. They are the lifeblood of your community. Members are certainly important, and you want your membership to grow and be viral and whatnot, but it is the moderator's job to really make that community healthy and to make sure work is getting done and answers are happening to questions. So their work falls into two buckets. They're really just monitoring and facilitating and managing the content, making sure there is content and it's orderly and correct and whatnot. But their other job is to promote content and to promote people. And so if they should see their job as, if Robin is a great contributor to a community, I want people to recognize her. I want her to feel rewarded and to boost her enthusiasm for coming to the community and participating. And so it shouldn't be about, the community shouldn't be about me as a moderator. It should be me helping people that are in the community to become really key members and contributors. So that's the call to action related to this slide, is really take moderation seriously. Think about who, for any community that's being built, that there are moderators signed up ahead of time. They know what their job is. They take it seriously. They spend time in the community looking at content, meeting members, helping those members. It is a routine and a constant task for them, or your community just may not thrive. Moderators spend some time ensuring that posts get replies and questions get answered. They look at best replies for completeness. They may mark a different reply or rewrite a whole series of replies into a single one themselves and say this is the collection of replies that really give the full answer here. And they'll mark their own instance as the best reply. Their job is to make sure the content is appropriate, so when things get flagged to the moderator, they look at that and they take action against it. They're sort of arbitrators and make sure there's no trolling and awkward discussions and things that are offensive happening. So with that, let's demo.
All right, so I'm back in the marketing topics community. This time I'm here as a moderator, so I can see my community tools apart here. First thing I want to do, since I've just been made a moderator on this community, is make sure people can see that I'm the moderator. So I'm going to go on to the links that I skipped over before and create a badge. Again, this is just a SharePoint list, so I'll stick this in edit mode and add a moderator badge. Now I need to go assign that badge to myself, so I'll go back to where I can see the toolbox, click on Assign Badges to Members. I see myself there, Moderation, Give Badge. Choose the moderator badge I just created. And now you can see that I have that badge. And so just like we saw earlier with Pavel said expert with the little icon, now I will show up everywhere in this community with that little icon and it'll say moderator by my name. All right, now people can recognize that I'm the moderator. I should probably do some moderation things. First thing I'm gonna do is look through unanswered questions. So I see one here that actually has a reply, so I'm gonna check that out. It looks like Alex has actually given a pretty good reply to Bonnie's answer, so I'm going to mark this as the best reply. And now if we go back to the homepage and look at answered questions, we'll see that that now shows up there. So I've cleared that out of the unanswered questions query. Next, I want to make sure that I always have some fresh content here when members come back. So I like to do that by just looking for what's hot in the community, what's popular, see if there's anything that maybe everyone should know. And I see one here that has quite a few replies, likes, it even has a best reply. So I'm going to start and look at that one. And so Alex is talking about a non-English market. It seems really relevant for everyone in this community. So I'm going to pull this down and mark it as featured. And you'll see that I now have the option to unmark as featured from here if I want. If I go to the planning category, this has been added to the list of featured discussions right at the top, so now all my members will be drawn to this. One other thing I want to do is check out if there are any reported posts. And I see that there is one here. I'm going to click on it. All right, Allie says this really isn't the best reply. Now, I could edit or delete the original post by Bonnie here if it really is offensive, or I could just dismiss Allie's report. I'm going to go ahead and just dismiss it for now. Yep. And that pretty much sums it up for my moderator duties for today.
All right. So just a few additional contents about promoting content and people. So as you saw, featuring content is really a way for you to promote important discussions. It's also sort of a frequently asked questions type guide. So anything that you see being asked over and over in this community, if you feature it, hopefully the members will see that when they go to the category and won't ask that same question again, which can become annoying to you as moderator and perhaps all the other members. Note that only moderators can mark posts as featured. Marking best replies, so that helps the discussion stand out. It results in a higher popularity score. It marks the question as being answered, and it most importantly boosts the reputation of the person who replied, who gave that best reply. So that means really, I'm getting rewarded because I said something smart to help somebody else, and I love that. Assigning badges. So really, badges are a simple textual tile that has a little award icon next to it. They're used for rewarding unique contributions, heroic actions, and such. And we recommend that you not only reward your members who are outstanding contributors, or have, if you bring in someone who is really an expert in this community, they may not contribute a lot, so their reputation score isn't going to grow, right? They're just going to answer the most important questions or give really good detailed answers. But they're busy, they're an expert. And so if you just mark them as the expert, then that's a good use of a badge. And also, we recommend that you identify all of your community moderators and probably your community owner as such, so that whenever they contribute or do anything in the community, they're known to be, they're not spies in the community. It's like, yes, I am a member and a moderator. I have an official role here. And finally, it's good to review best replies, even because you're not the only person as a moderator who can mark a best reply. Again, the original poster of the question can mark any of the replies as the best answer, and so you should go through and make sure those are complete and correct. And I'll just say it's really a best practice, and we've been playing around with this ourselves with some of our internal communities, of using workflow and email alerts to help us do moderation. So for example, you can assign an owner per category in your community and set up workflow so that anytime a new discussion goes into that category, I'll get an email as the moderator. You can set a timer on that so I don't have to immediately get a notification, but you know, 2 hours later or 2 days later, I can get a notification that says, you know, somebody posted, there was no answer to it, so maybe I should go and try to facilitate getting an answer there.
And we're actually going to be putting out a blog post on how you can use workflow in communities in the near future.
To do exactly this sort of thing. Be looking for that. Reporting to moderator, any member of the community can report things as a sort of offensive, and the moderator can then go and look for those things. The reported content is stored in a hidden list, so that means no one can just go peruse and see all the stuff that's been reported. The members, your reporting is notified to you instantly, so it says thank you for reporting this. But just note that the author of the reported content does not know that somebody has reported it against them. So it is sort of an anonymous act, at least to the other members of the group. The moderator will know who reported it, but we think that's appropriate. All right, just real quickly, sort of like, what's the difference between members and moderators and admins? Well, in this particular list, members can't do a lot. They can participate normally. But what moderators can do is go to any discussion and mark a best reply. They can mark discussions as featured, create and assign badges, create categories. They can edit reputation settings. They can edit and delete others' posts. So a moderator can actually come in and completely edit some member's root post and answer, delete it altogether. That is their job, to make sure the content is good and correct and useful. They can also edit the pages and add apps. And note that different from members in team sites, so members in team sites can add lists, they can edit the page, they can do all kinds of things to your team site, but members in communities can't do that. Their real job is to participate in discussions themselves, or if there are lists and libraries, they can do those sort of add items and work against items, but they can't put a page in edit mode.
This is why you don't want to inherit permissions from a team site on a community.
Exactly, and why you want to use our predefined member, moderator, visitor, and owner groups. All right, so far we've shown you the core stuff that we built as communities. I hope you like it. Yes? Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. But you may also be thinking in the back of your mind, I recall this kind of stuff. It's discussion forums. Hasn't that been around for a while? And the answer is yes. Discussion forums have been around the internet and the web for 30 years or so. That's really how the web started. The internet started was around chat rooms and sort of communities of interest forming. And so in a certain sense, you could be like, wow, this is all great. We love your new site template. Where's it been all of our lives? It should have been part of SharePoint a long time ago. And where's the innovation? And I'm here to tell you the innovation is really about how we've integrated it into the broader SharePoint. So that's our punchline. It's a good punchline, yeah. And so here's some, wow.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good, this is I'm where we're looking for applause.
Okay, so we didn't plan that. So the community portal is one piece. These are some things that we're gonna demo for you real quick. How we've integrated into search. People are everywhere thanks to our people card and link, feed and notification emails. So it's part of the broader microblogging system, and we have things like hashtags and app mentions that work inside of communities in a great way. So again, let's move to demo.
All right. So here I am on my sites page. I hope you've seen this a bunch of times by now. One of the tiles I want to call out is this one here. When you provision a new site template called the Community Portal in SharePoint, we add a tile up here to your promoted sites that goes straight to it. So here I can see a view of all the communities across my company that I have access to. So I could browse through here if I want, but I just really want to see if there's anything related to marketing. So I'm going to use search box. We've built new search result templates for communities and discussions. So here's the marketing topics community that we've seen before. If I hover over this, possibly. I can get information such as how many members and what are some of the popular discussions that are going on here, so I can get a sense for if this community really interests me without having to go there. I can also see that here's a discussion that's taking place in a community about marketing. I can see the original post and a few of the recent replies. No? Ah. Well, I think that's pretty exciting. But I can do you one better. Here's our non-English marketing topic that we've seen. From here, I can not only see the question that Alex has asked, but I can see the answer that Bonnie has given. So right from the search page, without knowing anything about the community, without being a member, I can get information.
Now, this is an applause moment. Come on. For real. This is one of my favorite features because it means, like Robin said, I didn't know anything about this community. This community is, in a sense, a silo. A bunch of people have come there, joined, and they're having their own discussions. But me, as an outsider, I typed a question in search, right? And I now have not just knowledge of this community, I have a question, I have the answer to it right at my fingertips. I might want to join this community, I might want to participate in the discussion further, or just benefit from getting the answer to that thing. I mean, that's real knowledge sharing there. And so the people that were in that community, they care about that topic. I may not care about that topic enough to go join, but I can benefit. So that's great.
All right, so I'm going to go back to a discussion. This one doesn't have an answer yet, but Janet's looking for an answer. I'm going to actually say that I think Allie would be a good person. So I'm going to at mention her, and here I get to see the awesome new people picker. Would be a great person to ask. And I'm also going to add a hashtag here. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, I'll add it, but I won't get to see the cool people picker. Sorry about that. So when I add that, what's really cool is everybody who is now following this marketing tag will see a notification in their newsfeed. So they may not be members of this community, but they'll see this discussion now. It may be something that interests them. Allie will get a notification in her newsfeed and an email that will bring her back to this community so she can help answer Janet's question. And so speaking of notifications, I'm going to switch over to Allie here and go check out her newsfeed. All right, so we can see that Allie has a mention. She's been mentioned by me in this series trends discussion in the marketing topics community. And she also has some other notifications from communities, and John's going to talk a little bit about those.
Yep. I'll just note also that because Allie was the person that asked the question in the first place, she received an email. She didn't just get a notification in her newsfeed, but she received an email each time somebody in that discussion thread had something to say for her discussion. So that really keeps her, she doesn't have to go to her feed to go check it out. She can go to her inbox, and it really keeps her in the loop on something that she cares deeply about getting an answer to. So again, we didn't demo it quite, but you can connect instantly to people in communities, and really we've scattered this people card all over SharePoint within lists and libraries and other places in the microblog and so forth. That means really I have the ability to IM, to phone, to have other kinds of communications with people that I care about, to start a video conference and so forth. It's fantastic. And it makes it, I can also go find more about them from their profile, but I can also go follow them, which is great. So, hey, this person was a top contributor in the community. I think I really want to see what they have to say. So far, everything I've seen has just been fantastic, and I'm going to benefit from following them. The community portal, so it aggregates all communities across your enterprise, all over the place. They all come here to your portal. It's sorted by popularity, which is this interesting combination that we did of membership and activity, the recency of the activity, and also the age of the community. And so that really helps really large communities that have lots of content that may be sort of on the out, not always be at the top of the list in your community portal, but up-and-coming communities that are having lots of critical, vital discussion and excitement can also be up there near the top as well. The portal uses search to populate the list of communities, and so that gives us several good things and advantage. And one is that the portal can be scoped to exclude communities that are created as subsites. That gives you some ability, for example, in a SharePoint Online situation where I want to just co-provision site collections as the tenant, and all the communities that I create as site collections are the only ones that show up in my portal, so it's like the official set of communities for my company. Community sites, as I said, can be created via the feature activation functionality, but they also do not aggregate to the portal, and so that means I may turn my team site into a community, and I just wanted to do that because I thought my team site should have community functionality, but it's not going to show up to all the rest of the world as a community on the community portal, the official corporate portal. Communities are security trimmed, so if I do not give that particular user who's visiting the portal permission, so if I don't share it with everyone or share it with that individual, they won't see it as a community on the portal. So that, again, means essentially you can have sort of secret communities out there that people are not aware of. And just note sort of the downside with search is that there will be a lag between when a community gets created and when it displays in the portal. And because we sort by popularity anyway, brand new communities are not going to show up at the top of the list anyway. So that's likely to not affect you very much. The community site template is only available at the site collection level, so the portal itself, not the site template, but the portal template can only be created as a site collection. It's created in central admin or as tenant admin. There is one portal per enterprise because it really aggregates all the communities across your enterprise. I think probably a future feature we will build for it is that you may have multiple portals to serve, you know, a portal for marketing, a portal for engineering, or something to that effect. But for now, there is one. And if you create, you can create two, you can create five if you want, but they all will have the same content. And that is across your enterprise, so it is cross-farm. Note that the portal gets added to the promoted site. So Robin showed this. When you go to your site's page, the hub, there is a set of promoted sites that you as the admin, the tenant, or the admin for your entire My Site and the site's page, you can add any page, any site, that is, to the promoted sites, but we go ahead and add the portal site for you. You can remove it if you want, but it's a good place for it to be. Notifications in the newsfeed. So we send a set of different notifications related to communities to people that are following you. So if I'm following you, then that means anytime you join a community, I'm going to get a notification that says, hey, Robert just joined the chairs community. Or if you achieve a new level, if you create a post or reply, if you mark something as a best reply, or if somebody that is marks your post, your reply as a best reply. And also if you like or rate something. And for ratings, we only do that for high ratings. So if it's a rating of a 4 or 5, then we send a notification. If it's a rating of 1, 2, or 3, we don't send a notification broadly. So it's really ratings that are outstanding are the ones that we want to promote to others. We're sort of keeping it in a positive light there. And then again, for email notifications, whenever someone replies to my root post, not a reply to my reply, but a reply to my root post, then I get an email notification as well. All right. So let's talk a little bit about when to choose a community. There are a lot of technologies now that we've given you that are groups of people having discussions around topics of interest and team sites where formal teams can get together and so forth. And you could think of DLs as communities. Certainly at Microsoft, we are DL crazy, distributionless crazy. There supposedly are, you know, for 100,000 employees, there are 300,000 DLs, and that number may be higher now. Not all of those are communities, but some set of those are communities. And I'm a member of the musicians at Microsoft DL, and that really feels like a community to me. But DLs are, while they can be great if you're email-centric and email's right there at your fingertips and it's your habitual place to start your day and continue your day, they have a downfall in certain ways. So, content is not easily archived. So if I join the musician at Microsoft's DL today, and it's been going on for the last 10 years, I'm not privy to any of the previous discussions that have happened there, unless it's a public folder. New members don't see any history. Frequently asked questions just get asked and re-asked, and there's no real way. The members of the DL definitely get annoyed when the newbie comes on and says, you know, dumb question number 101. The content's not really searchable in the broader contents, and what Robin showed you with search and communities and how that's not a silo. You know, DLs tend to be silos of just those individuals that are interested in that topic. And people aren't acknowledged for their expertise. I don't know if, until I've been in a particular DL for a while, whether you're really a reputable person, whether I should believe in what you say, or you're just one of the masses that is sort of complaining about this thing or trying to give your limited experience on something, like maybe I trust you, maybe I don't. I don't know. Doing simple things like liking something, there's no easy way. You've got to reply all and have a plus one in your email. And there's no count of those things. So it's like, how many reply alls that said plus one were there? All right, and as you all know, like storage quota can be kind of an issue where email is just distributed across a lot of inboxes. And communities, you can think of as like they sit in one place, and that is one set of storage that you have to deal with. All right, if you think about functional teams and group projects, they can be like communities, but they also differ from communities. So functional teams tend to be formally organized. You know who the members are. Communities tend to be sort of organically organized. People come and go because they're interested. Teams tend to have specific deliverables. They're very time-based. Communities tend to be timeless. So a topic gets introduced, .NET programming, SharePoint community. Those things have a long life, and a team may come and go as your company orgs and reorgs, and as products ship and projects get completed. So they just have a different mission overall. I've got a couple of charts here that a friend of ours in MSIT actually put together for us. This is available in a blog post on the SharePoint blog as well. that just show a little bit of sort of the comparison of capabilities across communities and some other things that sort of have community-like capabilities. Team sites, you can have a feed on a team site, you can have a public news feed, there's email and IM, there's following a hashtag. In a certain sense, you could say the hash marketing is a community of sorts. But communities give you things like reputation. They give you this question and answer pairing. They have a place where content is clearly archived and useful. And so the takeaway, I've got one of the slides that compares this. You know, there's an ability to curate content and moderate content in communities. Unlike you know, email and DLs, they're very easy to lock down and have policies and governance around. So they're secure in that sense. And you can extend them. They're, you know, they are built on SharePoint, and on SharePoint lists. And so there's OM and API that you can use to broaden them and better integrate them even into the news feed and things like that or other social entities. So at the, let me back up and just say, communities really are best used, maybe that is on my next slide, so I should wrap up, yes. So here's some key takeaways. And I'll start with, where is it? Yes, the second bullet is communities are best used for very large groups. And I think of that as a group of 200 or more, maybe 300 or more people. That's where reputation becomes valuable. That's where it's not just a set of people discussing, 25 people discussing something, and a little bit of content here and there. But when you have this mass of content coming in and a mass of people participating, then our gamification and reputation, the ability to sort by reputation, popularity, the ability to find answered questions and those sorts of things really add value to the discussion, to the entity itself. So that is where communities are best used. And they're good for very specific domains, as opposed to, I think communities certainly could be used for just sort of social interaction, but I believe our news feed capability and the ability to have feeds on team sites are better for just, you know, let's have some not just friendly banter, but productivity discussion that is loosely coupled from any topic. It could be anything. I think communities are best used when they're very topic driven and for large groups and sort of planned. Community sites can be easily customized, as Robin showed you, and they should be. And communities are most successful when you have moderators and owners that really put in time and care to make those communities successful. And I hope you also saw that communities are really well integrated into the social fabric of SharePoint. So they are not silos. They are this rich place to have targeted content that's usable and reusable by everyone across your enterprise. If you're interested in learning more about communities, there's a somewhat old book. Here's three good ones, but the one in the middle, I think, is a great book to get you started thinking about, like, why would we have communities? And why this community template seems interesting. And maybe we've been sort of building our own communities, but why this template? It's called Cultivating Communities of Practice. And this gives you some, can give you some ammunition as to, you know, like, why do we want to push communities within our org and what value would we get out of it? We have our wonderful technical writers, Reagan, one of them sitting right down here, have written a set of really great articles for us that are on TechNet. This will be part of the deck that's published, so you don't have to scramble to write this down, but how to plan for communities and whatnot. We have a couple of blog posts on communities that just sort of walk you through the functionality and, you know, case use of them. And here are some sessions that are related to communities. So with that, I've left you 1 minute for questions. I'm sorry.
But we'll stick around.
I told you that would
too.
Happen.
And we will also be at Ask the Experts tonight.
Yeah, so we'll be at Ask the Experts tonight. We'd love to answer questions, and if we don't get to too many right now, then we'll stick
Please
around.
Please use the microphones.
Yep, so let's go questions. And thank you.
Start over here.
Two quick questions. One, you mentioned the Leave community. If I provision users already into the members group because I want them to be fixed there, are they still able to leave themselves?
Yes. When you add someone to the members group, you are giving them permission to become a member. They don't get added visually to the members list until they click the join button or participate. And then they can leave. They will still have the permissions you've granted them. They will just be hiding themselves from the community.
Is that the same if it's a team site and you enabled the community's feature?
Yes, it will work the same way.
Does that mean that it removes them from being members? Let me rephrase the question. Is that when you enable that feature, is there two sets of members groups created? Because you said it's a slightly different type of members group, or does it use the existing one?
It will use the existing one for your team site.
So is it documented what settings that are different between a normal contributor and a contributor for the communities? So I can give them the right permissions if it's necessarily needed to within that site.
Have we documented that,
yeah,
Reagan?
Yeah, he's asking, have we documented how you would set the permissions to what we do for communities?
We haven't documented that yet, but that's a good idea, and our writer is right here listening to that feedback.
Cheers, because the last thing I want is that I have a team site, I've got all my members using it, I then enable the contributor, the community features, but then they have the ability to be removed from that members. I work in education, so I'm thinking of students. I don't want students to be able to leave a class site that they've actually got supposed to be using, and then they don't get information about it. So by clicking on that leave communities, they basically don't get the learning materials that they require.
So